Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, continuing our study there. I'm assuming everyone's still in fellowship, so we'll jump right in. So Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "But I say," Paul is dictating this letter as we study before. We'll study again in chapter 6. At the very end, he wrote some Greek words in his own hand, but he dictated it. And this is very common practice, but God the Holy Spirit inspires all these words. So he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." The word for walk is peripateo. I'll always like that word. It kind of rings off the tongue pretty good. Peripateo. By the Spirit. You'll notice in your book it's a capital S, which is correct. The word for Spirit is pneuma, which starts out with a P. And when you see it with a capital S, it refers to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes it's not a capital S, and it refers to the human spirit. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you've got it referring to the human spirit. Because if you don't have a human spirit, Bible doctrine is foolishness to you. You can hear the words. We had an unbeliever sitting in here. They can hear all the words, but it's foolishness. They can academically, you know, hear the same stuff you're hearing. Does them no good because they don't have a human spirit. You have to have a human spirit in order to understand Bible doctrine. Now, that's one of the things that you get at salvation. From the very get-go, our grandparents, Adam and Eve, they had a human spirit, human soul, and a body. And the day that they sinned, the prophecy was given to them, the statement, "The day you eat muth, you will muth." Muth, M-U-T-H, is the Hebrew word for dying. So literally it says, the day you eat from that fruit, which would be a violation of what God told you to do, which is obviously a sin, dying, you will die. So when they ate that fruit, did they drop over physically dead? No. If you've been to Sunday school, you've probably heard that story. They didn't drop over physically dead, but they died. They died spiritual death at that second. They lost their human spirit, which means you have lost a relationship with God. Because without a human spirit, you're out. So dying, you will die. Now, they lived another several hundreds of years longer in their physical bodies before they physically died. But see, God solved their problem. They're in a state of spiritual death outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he gave them the gospel. And the gospel was, of course, one day in time, the Messiah is going to come. He's going to take your place. He's going to take the punishment for the sins that you did. If you believe in that, you're saved. They both believed, and they got their human spirit back. And they became a trichotomous being, but they are now infected with the old sin nature. And they had that old sin nature for the rest of their lives on the earth, and they committed a lot more sins after that. And then they died. So we are born with an old sin nature. We're infected with sin. We're born behind the eight ball as an unbeliever. And that's God's perfect grace. Because you cannot, when you're born behind the eight ball, you cannot work for salvation. Now our grandparents, as long as they didn't sin, they had a relationship with God. There's no compromise to God's character. Because they're perfect. He created them perfect. When they sinned, though, out they went. But see, when they believed the gospel, they came back. They came back. So their second position is much firmer than their first position. Think about that for a second. Their first position is based on what? It's conditional relationship. Long as you don't do that, we're good. We're in the Garden of Eden. I got fellowship with you. We're good. They could have stayed in that Garden of Eden for 500 years, 1,000 years. We don't know how long. Run around butt-ass naked in the Garden of Eden for 1,000 years. But it's a conditional relationship. In other words, one of these days they would have sinned. You might say to yourself, well, if I was in the Garden of Eden, I would never have sinned. Yeah, you would. If you're a being with free will, it's just a matter of time, right? When you get married, the first thing is, I'll never do you wrong. I'm sure that's what they both mean when they say I do, right? How long does that last? No, you can't. Beings with free will cannot stay on the up and up all the time. So, yes, you would flunk also. You might not even last a day in the Garden of Eden. But that was a conditional relationship. But see, God's not compromised. They're perfect. You're good. But when you sin, we're no longer good. I can't let you in, dude. I can only kick you out. And that's why the necessity for you to have God's righteousness in order for you to live with God forever. So when you're out, you have your own righteousness. That's minus R. When you believe that the Messiah... They looked forward to the cross, right? The cross hadn't happened. They were looking this away. We look back. They had very little information. They didn't know it would be Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't know about Jews. Adam and Eve, what's Jews? The Jewish race had not been created. They didn't know where he'd be born, Bethlehem. They didn't know very much anything. All they knew is that somebody in time, the seed of the woman, is going to take your place. He's going to take the punishment you deserve. And if you accept that, if you believe in that, you're saved. They both did, and they were saved. So, but I say, walk by the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to get the gospel to people. The word walk is, again, peripatetic. It means a lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? Well, I walk by the bars. That means you drink all the time. Or I walk in, socialism. You're a socialist. All right, walk in capitalism. You're a capitalist. It's just your lifestyle. What's your lifestyle? That's all it means. So he says, walk by the Spirit. We have a whole doctrine in the book called the Doctrine of Walking. Walk by the Spirit. In other words, live your life by means of the Holy Spirit. And it's your normal life. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The word flesh is sarx. Sarx, S-A-R-X in the Greek. This is a synonym for the old sin nature. Because you have an old sin nature, as we all know. The old sin nature is invisible. It's located in the genetic structure of your mortal body. That's what the Bible says. How do you get the old sin nature? It's passed down through copulation by your father and your mother. Your father infected your mother, is how it happened. And we've studied this many times. I'm not going to take time to do it, but that's why the Messiah had to be born of a virgin, because there's no human male involved in the process of creating the biological life. The biological life is created pure as Adam's biological life was created pure. Adam was created, Jesus was born perfect. And that's why God the Holy Spirit had to provide the missing 23 chromosomes to Mary's 23 chromosomes. Because every month, the female, well, I guess I'll do it. You may not know this from biology, but the female has sex cells and the male has sex cells, right?
Right.
The male sex cell will divide into two. Sperm without loss of genetic material through meiosis and polar body, 23 and 23. The female sex cell comes along with 46. They cast off waste material, and she will have a 23. But she doesn't. You don't get two female sex cells from one 46 ovum. You get a 23. They cast off the waste materials. That's the old sin nature. Waste materials cast off. So she actually has a pure cell here. This is impure because there's no loss of genetic material. So when that hits that, you get a new 46. That's when things start going. But this 46, which is you, is infected with the old sin nature. Because the old sin nature, as the Bible says, is passed down through Adam. In Adam, all sin. So you got the old sin nature here. You got the old sin nature here. You got the old sin nature here. And you got it up here. But not there. That's why Jesus, in Jesus' case, and here you got it here too. In Jesus' case, though, God the Holy Spirit provided the missing 23. So Jesus was born perfect. Ever hear that in church? No. They have no idea why the Virgin Mary. First of all, she wasn't a virgin for long. Because after Jesus was born, she had sex. Catholics go, she had a lot of sex. Because the Bible identifies her half-brothers. Jesus had four half-brothers. You know that? In two different places in the Bible, it gives their names. Two of them wrote books of the Bible. One was Jude, and the other was James, half-brothers of Jesus. The other two half-brothers, their name was Simon, or Simon, and the fourth one was Joseph Jr. Always got to have a junior in there somewhere. And it says he had at least two sisters. Now, these are half-sisters because Joseph is the daddy, Mary's the mama. But with Jesus, God the Holy Spirit provided these 23 chromosomes. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. And that's why in Genesis chapter 3, the first prediction of the Messiah is called the what? The seed of the woman. What's the seed? 23 chromosomes. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Because in order for him to go to the cross, he has to be perfect. If he's born with a man involved, he's not perfect. He can't qualify to go to the cross. And he was born perfect. And of course, if he would have sinned one time during his life on this earth, he couldn't go to the cross. Because only a free man can free a slave. We're all slaves. Only a perfect person can take the sins of the world. If he's imperfect, he can't die for his own sins. He'd be a sinner. But he's not. And he never sinned. He remained perfect in thought, tongue, and overt action. And Satan tried to get him to sin everywhere you can think of. So he never sinned. So when it says that we walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We have an old sin nature. We're born with it. So we're born with temptation inside of us already. And we've diagrammed that on the board many times. If you get a microscope, what would it look like? Well, you can't see it. It's invisible. It's immaterial. It's real, but it's immaterial. But it's in the flesh. That's why we use the word sarx. They identify it by many terms, but that's why it says here, the flesh, which is the word sarx. Because it's genetically in your flesh. Not in your soul, in your flesh. Now, Christ didn't die to save your body. He died to save your soul. You'll never see this body again. In fact, you'll probably be glad when you get old. You say, damn, this thing's breaking down. Not like old Betsy ain't like she used to be. But when you're young, you're going, oh man, look, I'm pumping 200 pounds at the gym and I'm doing this and doing that. It looks pretty good. I'm curling my hair and all this stuff. I'm looking hot. Yeah, for a little while. I remember my grandmother, she was a looker back in her day. I mean, she was very attractive back in the 20s. And I remember when I was a little kid, she looked in the mirror, she said, who is that old woman? Very profound, because she didn't recognize. She knew it was her, but she said, man, that ain't what she used to look like. I saw a nice cartoon the other day. It said, Barbie at 60. Had her sitting on a couch and, you know, just kind of all sorts of things drawn on Barbie that, it wasn't Barbie at 20. It was Barbie at 60. So, it's called the sark. So, Christ died to save your soul. You'll never see this body again. You're going to have a resurrection, indestructible body, which is recognizable. But it won't have all the problems this body has. If you're a dwarf, it won't be a dwarf body. If you have to have, you know, hearing aids, it won't have hearing aids. If you're blind, it won't be blind. It'll be perfect in every single way. No moles. No scars, no tattoos. It'll be recognizable by other people, but it won't look like the thing you have now, which is constantly changing. So it's called the flesh, and what does it look like? This is what it looks like. This is the old sin nature. How many churches do this? Yeah, I'm not going to answer that question. It's shaped like a diamond because it has certain parts to it. One, it has a temptation towards sin. It tempts you to do sin. The other one, it has an area where it cranks out good works. Good works, human good works. Human good works are not acceptable to God, folks. Now, society loves them. God has nothing to do with that stuff. Then it has a trend. So that's what it cranks out. It cranks that out, it cranks that out. Lots of them. I don't know how many sins you're going to do in your life. Let's just say you do 100,000 plus one. How many good deeds you're going to do? I did 100,000 plus two. Okay, great. Both of these are unacceptable. Now, Christ didn't die on the cross for your good works. He died on the cross for your sins. The good works issue is handled at the judgment seat of Christ. It's burned up. But this is what keeps you out of heaven, this part. But it has a trend towards partying or being a legalist, those with legalists. You'll know some people that their sin nature, man, they can't turn down a booze or a wild party or whatever it is. They're always out here smoking and joking all the time. These people over here, they never think of doing that. what do? They gossip. Their tongue is flapping like a American flag on the 4th of July. So they're legalists. They're goody-goodies. I like to hang around these people myself. The goody-goodies, of course, where do they all go? People like to flock together. Most churches are loaded with people that do this? No. Most of them are loaded with this crowd. They're very legalistic. Now, once in a while, the legalists will, you know, get caught in adultery, you know. They've had a heart attack. Or they'll get a snoot full. I didn't know that was gin in there. And then they get drunk. And they get shocked. Oh, I can't believe I did that. So it's not, you don't really stay into one camp or the other. You can cross over once in a while, back and forth. But those are trends in your old sin nature. So we all have this old sin nature. And remember, you can't lose your salvation. But when you are tempted by the old sin nature to sin, you're out of here. Now, if you do good works with the old sin nature, well, you can't do good works when you're here. Everything you do where you're in the bottom circle is called agathos in the Bible. That's the Greek word for divine good. So if you give a cup of cold water to somebody and you're here, it's rewardable. If you sin and you're here and give a cold cup of water to somebody, not rewardable. Not rewardable. It's human works. You cannot do human good when you're in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. Everything you do is divine good. You're cranking it out. But when you commit a known sin, you're here. And everything you do is human good, not acceptable to God. Because you're in this sphere. So how do you get back here? Just name your known sin. There's lots of things you can name. I'm not going to help you, but think about yourself. Think about arrogance. Arrogance is a sin. If you're arrogant where you hate somebody or you think you're better or you envy. See, most of the movement today with this critical race theory and all the other nonsense they have, you know what it's based on? It's based on a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. They lust after somebody else's property. Oh, that person has that. And, of course, it happens to be, I guess, white people. White people have that. We want it. It's lust. Well, why don't brown people have it? What is the reason? Because it's inherently evil. White people are inherently evil. What? You're all inherently evil. Brown, black, white, everybody's got an old sin nature. The problem is really an economic argument. Because, yes, we have a lot of poverty. But if you look at studies, how do you get out of poverty? Finish high school, don't have kids till you're married, and get a job. And see, the people that are complaining, they didn't do that. And their life sucks. And they look at somebody that did. Oh, in fact, you can be a white racist even if you're not white. That's the new thing now. You could be black and be a white racist. Yay. You could be Hispanic and be a white racist. That's how weird it is. But see, they're trying to get the race thing in there, but really what it is this envy. They want what they don't have. They want what they don't have. Somebody else has got it. I want it. That's why we want reparations. The vast majority of black people in this country, vast majority, they were not here. Their ancestors were not here as slaves. If you look at the average person that's black in this country, they don't have any ancestors that were here before the Civil War. It's a very small minority of blacks. Yet everybody wants reparations. I'd like to have reparations myself. The Yankees burned down our home during the Civil War. I'd like to get paid for that house. That's a war crime. But see, it's always about I want what I don't have. And that's, of course, is sin. So it says, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh, of course, is rooted in the cosmic system. The desire is for evil. And a lot of it is, back to the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not steal. God's a capitalist. Today, young people are trying to be told that, oh, well, you know, God, we should share all our wealth. That's not God. Thou shalt not steal means you have the right to own private property, right? Right. God is not a socialist. Socialism is evil. Evil to the core. That's not God. And then, of course, the other 10, you will not lust after your neighbor's property, his goat, his ox, whatever he has. That's what it's all about. They want. And they will kill to get it. Now, the French Revolution's the same thing. What we're going through in this country, nothing new. First Revelation did the same thing. The lower class wanted what the upper class wanted. Now, they couldn't really couch it in racism because they're all white. They couldn't say, well, it's a white people. Well, what are we going to call them? Oh, we'll just call the rich people. Now, see, here you can mask it in racist stuff, which makes it more acceptable to people because nobody wants to be called racist. So we'll just call you racist. But what they really want is they lust after something they don't have. So the French Revolution, same thing that's going on today in this country, was going on then. And it brought the country down. They slaughtered thousands of their own people, cut their heads off, in the name of equality. Right? That's what drives this movement today, equality. That's why they talk about institutional racism. It's not equal. Equality. I got news for everybody. There is no such thing as equality. For example, you and I were not born equal. And I didn't have any. If you don't like it, take it up with God. I have nothing to do with it. You can play the piano much better than I. Just the way it is. Our IQs are different. Just the way it is. Some people got born, they got hit with the ugly stick. They weren't born tall, dark, and handsome. Don't take it up with me. Some people were born, female, male. Don't take it up with me. There's no such thing as equality. It's a lie. That's the lie, though, that got our grandparents, right? Satan said to Eve, what did God tell you about all this stuff? Oh, he said, I can have to do it. I just can't do that tree. Really? You know why? Because Satan told her, the day you eat that tree, you'll be equal to God. Oh, that got her. Equality. Yeah, she found out what happened when the day she ate that from that fruit, whatever it was. Equality is a great evil. Even if you could make, let's assume you can make everybody equal. I have a magic wand. I'm going to make everybody look like, I don't know. My wife liked Denzel Washington when he was younger. He don't look too good now. He's getting old. He saw a recent film with him. He said, damn, he looks old. But back in the day, Denzel was kind of a tall, dark, handsome-looking guy, you know. Let's say we all look like Denzel as males. And who you like the female? Angelina Jolie? Let's do her. Back in the day. Okay. We all got a swimming pool. We all got a Ford Raptor. I like Raptors. Let's give everybody a Ford Raptor truck, 2021. You all got $1 million in the bank. Perfect health. You're still going to hell. So what? Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. It's a distraction. A distraction at best. God didn't call you here to whitewash the devil's world and march for social justice. That's what the devil does to you. Because the more he can get you sucked into this BS of social justice and righting the world and making peanut butter sandwiches for the Ecuadorians. You are not doing Bible class, are you? That's not the divine viewpoint. Don't you know that God could go, boop, and make perfect environment? In fact, he will. If you know your Bible, after the second coming, Jesus will create perfect environment, true perfect environment on the earth for 1,000 years. There'll be no more disease, no more poverty, no more wars. And it says, if you're 100 years old and die, people will wonder, why'd you die so soon? Life will be extended to hundreds of years. It'll be perfect environment. And yet, under perfect environment, the Bible tells us that people that are born into this perfect environment, with everything you could ever imagine, will turn against God. And by the time, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released, he'll stir them up, and he'll get of a huge millions of humans to march against God in Jerusalem. And what's the battle cry? Equality! It's not fair that Jesus is ruling the world from Jerusalem. We need to rule the world here. So perfect environment will not solve the problems of mankind. Now, do not get involved in the cosmic system of Satan, because Satan is a genius. He doesn't fool around with, oh, you're going to get drunk and take some drugs. That's child's play. What he does is, I'm going to get you sucked into social justice and the BLM movement. Well, I'm not black. Oh, you don't have to be black to be in the BLM movement. Started by two communists, by the way. You know, communism was started by communists. So, yeah. And suppose you could do all these wonderful things that these morons want to do. Does that save you? No. And if you're saved, does that put Bible doctrine into your brain? No. It makes you a casualty in the angelic conflict. So stay out of these freaking movements. Now, that said, you're expected to be a good citizen. But being a good citizen will not save you. Being a good citizen will not advance you from a baby to a mature believer. But the Bible commands Christians to be good citizens. What's a good citizen? Well, I follow the biblical principles for how do you have a healthy nation, and those are four. They're in your book. One, I believe in individualism. But see, communists and this movement we have today, they don't believe in individualism. To them, the government, the state, is important. You work for them. That's not what the Bible says. State works for you. You believe in marriage between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says. Yes, I realize that they say in our society that homosexuals can marry each other. That's not what the Bible says. Again, somebody's wrong. Either society's wrong or the Bible's wrong. Now, you could be a homosexual and go to heaven. You can be a homosexual and get married to five homosexuals. You still can go to heaven. All you got to do is believe that Christ died for your sins. It just means you're here all your homosexual lifestyle. There's no sin that can keep you out of heaven. And then number three is the family. The family is where you raise your children. And four is capitalism national. God's a nationalist. He is not an internationalist, which all universities teach you about the glory of the United Nations. The United Nations is an evil organization. God has nothing to do with internationalism. God supports nationalism. He supports capitalism. He supports a strong military. He supports respect for law and order. If you follow these four pillars, you will have a healthy life. And then die and go to hell if you don't believe in Christ. But if you're a believer, you're commanded to follow these concepts for a healthy society. And as of July the 4th, that's what we celebrate. Oh, but our founders weren't perfect. You think? You're not perfect. Let's forget about the founders. Let me just talk about your silly blankety blank. You're arrogant. You're not going to follow somebody unless they're absolutely perfect. Well, dude, you're not going to follow anybody, not even yourself. It's impossible. But the words and the thing they put together is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. These men were geniuses. Oh, but they're all white. Who the hell cares what color their skin was? I don't care if they're green. I'm looking at what is in here. Oh, but they weren't perfect. Some of them owned slaves. Yes, I understand that. I'm not talking about the person. I'm talking about the message. The Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Means that these are God-given rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is the exact opposite of the Democrat Party today. Now, I don't tell you who to vote for. Vote for them if you want to. But that's what their platform is. They don't believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They want the government to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. That's evil. They promote everything the Bible does not promote. In fact, on the National Day of Prayer, our own president didn't even say the word God one time. They're ashamed of our flag. They won't fly the flag. When you see a flag flying outside of a house around San Antonio, do you think they are a Republican or a Democrat? 99% of the time. You got it. They won't fly the flag. To them, the flag is evil because our history is evil. Dude, what country on this planet does not have an evil history? If that's your criteria, you're just going to have to go in a cave somewhere and huddle up. I will tell you, this is the greatest country your arrogant little SOB has ever seen. You have no idea what reality is all about. You're living in Never Never Land. You haven't seen other countries and the evil that transpires in their country. Yeah, we got evil, but compared to other countries, it's like a mountain and a molehill. You got the opportunity here to get a job and to advance yourself beyond your imagination. I stopped and got gas today, talking to the fellow. He's from India. We talked about the 4th of July. He said he's just flabbergasted at the losers in our country. They bitch and they moan because they don't have something. This dude came from a place that you can't imagine the poverty. And yet, he's working hard at a little gas station, working. And these other losers walking around, they just want a riot, and I want what you have. And I'll smash it to get it. They should be in jail. Anyway, in Texas, that's how you start a riot, stop a riot. One Texas Ranger with a gun can stop a riot. You don't let rioters engage in lawlessness. So that's our July 4th message. So I just want to let you know, yes, these things don't save you, but I encourage you, please be a good citizen. And when you go to universities, yes, you're hearing evil about all day long. You don't hear this side. And I've done many young people, when I speak to them, they're like, their eyes are big. Never heard that? I'm sure you haven't. I'm sure you haven't. But see, the thing in life, and I'll give you the last little thing before we break, you will never have an original thought in your entire life. Impossible. Whatever your thoughts are, you tell me what they are, I'll tell you where they came from. Book of Ecclesiastes written by Solomon. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. And there isn't. The issue for your life is right here. You hear both sides. Bing, bing. And then you decide, I'm going to go with this side or I'm going to go with that side. This Bible class, we give you the other side. You ain't going to hear this in the vast majority of churches or universities or anywhere else. So, you've now been exposed to the other side. Now you got to decide, ooh, I like that side. I don't like this side. That you can do. But the thoughts that I give you today, I didn't make these up. They're all in the Bible. I didn't sit down and say, oh, I'm going to think up all these thoughts. No. I just adopt them as my own. And I'm lining up on this side of the fence. Most Americans line up on the other side. I got that. But why do they do that? John chapter 3, verse 19. They hate this side. In fact, as a law professor, when I tell them that I believe in the death penalty, morally and legally, oh, they hate me. Other law professors, other law students, they hate me. Well, dude, why do you want to hate me? I'm just giving you the other side of the argument. I don't hate you. You know, it's a sin to hate. I don't hate you. But they're not just saying, oh, well, you got a different opinion. I understand that. Have a nice day. Go in peace. No, they want to shut me down. Because darkness hates the light. That's your verse for this week. John chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21. They hate you. If you give somebody this doctrine about eternal security, they hate it. You can't tell young people they can't get unsaved. They're going to go out and fornicate. They're going to fornicate anyway. They're going to go out and get drunk. They're going to get drunk anyway. Why don't they give them the truth? You can't lose your salvation. That's very relaxing. Isn't it relaxing? Yeah, it's very relaxing. If you know you can't get unsaved, well, you serve God because you want to, not because you're afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of God. God's your father now. What you believe, he's your daddy. You know that. Who's your daddy? My daddy's God. All right, with our head bowed, our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things. Make them a source of blessing in our lives, because we know that that's how we glorify you, is by taking your mind and putting it into our mind. And that's the only thing that you acknowledge is truth, which it is the truth, and there is no other truth. We know that we live in the devil's world and we are bombarded with evil, human good, and false doctrine all the time. Thank you for the privilege of learning the truth, because the truth will set us free from this bondage. In Christ's name, amen.